Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to, well, we got a weird thing going on today. So, you're listening to us here on 1460 KXNO. This is like one of those deals when they, you know, like ESPN will like switch it and like Dick Vitale will go call an NBA game or something like that. And they'll move like Jay Billis to the, or he'll call an NBA game too. This is the Fawcast. We've referenced it here on KXNO many times. We have our football recruiting party going on over at Thunderhead right now. And so we needed to record our Fawcast, the Charterhouse Real Estate Fawcast, of course. But we also needed to knock out our Cyclone Fanatic radio show. So here we are. We're doing them both. And for the first time, I believe, in Fawcast history, and this is our 113th or 114th episode, we are on the radio. Mark Charter, what's up?
I'm excited.
We need to tell people exactly what this is going to be, though, because I'm a little bit nervous that, like, some of our normal listeners who tuned in to get Brent Bloom's astute takes on the Cyclones, I don't know if they know what they're getting into.
I wish we could get Brent Bloom's astute takes, but he always ducks us on this thing.
Well, he has a real job.
We've asked him many times to join us on the Fawcast. But what are people, for those that are listening that have never heard of Fawcast?
Yeah, how would you describe what we do every week?
We are the Seinfeld of the sports world. This is a show about nothing, and yes, we'll probably talk a little bit of sports.
Talk a little bit of sports. We'll probably offend you a little bit.
But
we'll try not to.
Yeah. And Gray, who hosts this with us for 113 episodes now or whatever, who all he wants to do is break down X's and O's and swear, he's disappointed every week because he finds himself talking about things other than sports.
You guys never let me talk about sports. Ever.
Right. Just say the word.
Go ahead, Adam. Here you go. You get 2 minutes to talk about sports. Go.
The Patriots, really lucky. Tom Brady overrated. I'm kidding. Just kidding, guys.
No, you're not.
No, I can pull out the text messages
you were sending me during that game. That's exactly what you were saying.
I didn't say overrated. I said they were lucky. I think anybody would agree they were lucky.
Or they're just good, and good teams create good luck.
I think lucky probably has a lot more to do with it on that game. I think.
So was he lucky on the miracle catch, or was that skill?
Well, that was 100% luck on that one.
Okay.
That was. But you know what? Here's the thing. You got to give Brady a lot of credit. He took advantage of the mistakes that the Falcons made. What the Falcons did at the end of that game was very similar to what Paul Rhodes did against Kansas State when Iowa State blew that lead back then. Run the ball. Game's over. And the Patriots probably would have lost that game by 16. But instead, they continued
in
to try
Paul Rhodes' defense, if those guys aren't fumbling, they would have been fine. In Paul's defense in that Kansas State game.
Isn't that true?
No, there's no defense. Kneel the ball, game's over.
Well, no, I'm saying leading up to that.
Well, even after that.
How many fumbles did they have in the final, like, 5 minutes of that game? Warren and Lanning both coughed it up, I believe.
Yeah, but Warren coughed it up after the game was over, and Lanning coughed it up with, like, 40 seconds to go after Rhodes already messed up. So those were after Rhodes messed up.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't mess up. Okay. We all know he messed up.
Okay.
But even with him messing up, if the guys don't fumble the football, they win.
Okay.
I think it's pretty clear that the Falcons probably should have won that game by doing simple things.
Yeah.
And they didn't do simple things. But you got to give somebody like Brady credit for making every throw he needed to make.
And then in overtime, he was masterful. He was excellent.
Like, was there any doubt once they won the coin toss in overtime, was there any doubt they were going to go score?
No. And not only just score a touchdown.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that they're going to score a field goal. They were scoring a touchdown and the game was over.
I'm sure everybody tuned into the Cyclone Fanatic radio show tonight on Thursday to break down the Super Bowl.
That happened on Sunday. You gave me 2 minutes.
Because no other radio show in the country has broken down the Super Bowl yet this week.
Hey, that's what we do here.
Guys, I've had 5 days of buildup for this.
I love it. Well, Gray got the talk out of his system, so that's good.
Mark, how's the real estate industry?
Heating up, much like the weather.
When does it fire up? Does it fire up in like April?
No, typically it's going to be March. It's always weather related, though, more than anything else. And the fact that we're going to be in the 50s and no lower than the 40s, I think, for the next week indicates early. So I'm hoping winter's done. Are you guys with me? Do you still want
more
winter?
There's no way it's done. Yesterday was the first day this year, this entire winter, that I fired up my snowblower.
I'm surprised you
That's insane.
See, I'm surprised you did that. You're a good citizen, though.
That's why you did it.
You didn't want people tripping on your sidewalk.
Yeah, I didn't want the kids. The kids are walking to school.
Somebody like me looks at the forecast, and I see it's supposed to be 52 tomorrow. I'm like, it's melting.
Yep.
So you didn't even...
Well,
I live on
a cul-de-sac, and nobody walks on our sidewalk. So,
Isn't it your legal duty as a citizen to make sure that sidewalk is wiped off?
Only if somebody complains about it. I probably have, the way my house sits, I'm right in the middle of the circle, so I have maybe the smallest amount of sidewalk of anybody that you could possibly have.
Let's be fair. You wouldn't do it anyway. You'd pay somebody to do it, Charter.
This is true. You're not.
You've never shoveled or do you even own a snowblower?
Have you ever done any hard labor in your life?
I've done a lot of hard labor in my life. All when I was much younger.
I was going to say any in the last 15 years?
No. But that's by design, fellas. I learned something a while ago that makes a lot of sense. If you're one of those people, there's people out there in the world that love cutting grass. They just do.
I do.
They love it, right? Why am I going to deprive someone of their love? I'm going to pay them to cut the grass because they love it, right? I don't love cutting grass.
I'll cut your grass.
You know? I don't love shoveling snow. I don't at all hate it. So I'm going to pay someone to do that too. You know, make them happy. They can make money for their family.
But you didn't pay them. You decided against paying them. So you did deprive them the other day.
This time. Was there even enough to do it?
Yeah.
It depends which way your house faced.
Yeah, like 3/4 of my driveway had nothing on it.
Oh, I had a lot in mine.
Wow.
I had barely any.
I definitely had to.
No, Mother Nature took care of this.
Plus, I actually care about the children in my neighborhood.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of young kids running around.
We do, man. It's crazy. It's just toddlers everywhere.
Anyways, I
just feel like we should probably, screw it. Let's just do normal podcast.
Okay.
I was going to say, you know, maybe we should try and class things up tonight since we're on 1460 KXNO.
I don't think we should.
So am I allowed to swear again?
No,
still can't swear.
Because that will get us kicked off of the radio.
Okay.
So all right. So
do not swear, Greg.
So in that vein, we're all married here. Would you guys let your wives go on a date?
What do you mean? This is a loaded question, Charter.
Are we talking about with another guy?
With another guy.
It just depends on the scenario, I guess. Why? Like,
okay.
What do you,
so at least you're open-minded.
Is he straight?
Gray's going to be an automatic shutdown on this one.
Yeah, because Gray's a prude and he doesn't like anything that's fun.
So I developed a saying, a phrase years ago I came up with, and I am going to claim ownership of this, even though somebody would Google it and say I stole it, but I don't think I did. A wad. A wad is a wife-approved date. And simply put, very few women qualify as wad-worthy. So what this means is that your wife knows of another girl that's in your life for whatever reason, work or friend or whatever.
But the way you just framed it, though, makes it sound bad.
Well, it's just an acronym.
She's in your life.
It's just an acronym. She's somebody you know, and I'm going to give you a specific example here. But she's in your life, and you want to go do something, right? You want to go to an event. You want to go check out a movie.
Why don't you just do this with your wife?
Well, here's the thing, right? Okay, so I'm going to use a specific example because her husband's sitting right next to us. So I work.
Wait a second.
I work with Nick and Amy. All right? They both work here at Charter House, right?
They just kick ass on the sales trail.
Amy's fantastic. Amy's a great friend of mine, et cetera. Amy is also friends with my wife. They know each other very well. All right, there's a new movie in the theaters called Split. You've probably seen the previews.
Yes.
M. Night Shyamalan.
No, I don't know. What's it about?
A guy has 27 different personalities and kidnaps some girls.
Sounds horrible.
Okay. So my wife would never go see this movie in a million years.
Good for her. She's smart.
Doesn't handle scary, suspenseful, anything
like
that.
She doesn't want to waste time and money. I get it.
But I do know there's other people in the world that do want to see a movie like this. And one of those people is Amy. Okay? I happened to be having lunch with Amy the other day, and we were talking about this movie.
So this woman who you're going on a date with, who's married, friends with your wife, and she's married to another employee of yours, you just had lunch with her, and now you're going on a date with her.
No, stop for a second. She is an employee of Mark's as well.
That's what I said. She's an employee of yours.
Yeah.
Her and her husband. So lunch is one thing. Business lunch, I do lunches all the time.
I don't think that there's anything business about this lunch, but go ahead.
Okay, no, the lunch was, the movie would not be. So basically... I asked my wife if we could get WAD approval on Amy. So that means I can go out at...
I keep thinking you're referencing CrossFit.
No. So I can go to a movie with Amy, whether it's a matinee or in the evening. It doesn't really matter, I guess. So it's just myself and Amy going to a movie together.
Is there a buffer seat between you two?
I don't believe in the buffer seat.
No, you don't?
No, I don't believe in that. I think that looks stupid. Maybe with a buddy.
Yeah.
Like a guy, you might do that.
Will your hand touch her leg?
No. No. Absolutely not. Maybe we'll meet in the popcorn bowl. So here's the question is, now to be fair, okay? You guys both know my good buddy John Olson, okay?
John Olson, friend of the program.
John Olson is a longtime friend of mine, right?
Longtime podcast guest.
John and my wife have gone to a movie together before without me, and I'm totally fine with that because I trust John. I have no problem with that at all.
What if you found out that John tried to touch your wife's leg during the movie?
I would probably give him some knocks. Be like, nice one. Then I would say, how did she react to that? So the question becomes, all right, so there's the scenario that I'm under. My wife has approved it. I think it's fine. Amy's a great girl.
Yep.
I like Amy a ton.
Okay.
But I don't like Amy in that way, as her husband is looking at me as I say this thing. So I think that's
How does Nick feel about this?
Well, Nick doesn't have a headset to
tell us. Yeah, we only have three headsets.
Right.
Sorry,
now.
Nick,
thumbs up, thumbs down there. Like
Sideways.
Okay, thumbs sideways.
If you're just tuning in, by the way, this is the Fawcast, the Charterhouse Real Estate Fawcast, with Cyclone Fanatic Radio tonight on KXNO. No traditional bench warmer show tonight. Obviously, just in case you're listening, Mark Charter is explaining to us what a WOD is.
So the question is, fellas, would you ever go on a WOD, a wife-approved date of any type?
Oh, yeah, I would.
All right, so Williams is honest.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's good.
So to me, this one's a little different. Just because she is an employee of yours, you have been at events with her. She is really good friends with your wife, where I think they drop off stuff at each other's houses when they're sick. I see the stuff on Facebook all the time, so they're very close. I think this one is okay. It's one of the very few times where I think it would be okay. So I don't think there's too many other instances where that would be okay.
There's a lot of wives out there, and I don't blame them. I'm not saying you're wrong. That would never allow anything like this.
My wife would if it gets me out of the house and she gets time away from me, she'd be down with anything.
Really? So yeah. How many, roughly speaking, women in your life currently would your wife be okay with you doing this with? Is it like one or like 10?
Probably 500 for you.
I would say 10 to 20.
Really?
Yeah.
You have that many relationships with girls that your wife's totally cool with?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, my wife knows I'm not going to do anything. I mean, listen.
Isn't that what it really boils down to, though?
Here's the deal. If I did something stupid, okay, and my wife would leave me.
Yeah.
Well, the whatever or whoever I did something stupid with, chances are that's not going to work out, right? And then look at me. Look at me. I'm 32 years old. I'm getting gray hair.
Amen.
I get 5 hours of sleep a night.
You are a celebrity, so that ups you right there.
I got no shot in the dating world. I would get annihilated out there. She knows I'm not going to do anything to screw she's by far the best option I have at this point in my life. So, like, no, she doesn't care. She knows I'm not going to do anything wrong.
Now, Gray, on the other hand, would say, now look at me. Like, 1 hour on Tinder, I've got 20 dates. So
I would not say anything like that. You know, I think my wife would be okay with me going to a movie with maybe two of her friends that she would feel comfortable with. No one else other than that. And honestly, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with her going with any of my friends.
Not even me?
What, you wouldn't
especially
let me,
not you.
You wouldn't let me take,
especially not
what if
you.
I wanted to take your wife to a movie?
No. Not and not because I wouldn't trust you, and I would trust her with you because I would know she would never touch you. She would probably have four buffer seats between you and her.
I disagree with that, but whatever.
But no, I mean I don't know.
Sounds to me like you don't trust. You got a trust problem in your marriage. That's what it sounds like to me.
But here's the thing:
sounds like a you problem. It sounds like you're very insecure about your marriage. Did something happen to make you feel this way?
No, because here's the thing: dates are so precious once you have three kids. Like, you just don't get that many dates. If my wife is going to a movie, I'm going with her, and vice versa. Do you know what I'm doing this Friday? My buddy's got a team.
Here he is sucking up to his wife again.
Yep, I am. I'm sucking up right now. This pains me. You guys know how much I love golf. Golf is one of my favorite things to do. Broheim just opened up. You guys were there
on
Friday.
Last week.
I stopped in, had a beer with you afterwards. Awesome place.
Yeah,
my
really
buddy's
cool.
Got a tee time on Friday. I was supposed to go with him. Do you know what my wife did? She signed me up for Valentine's Day couples yoga.
Yeah.
Couples yoga.
Oh, sweet.
That sounds horrible.
Awful.
Sweet.
It sounds terrible. And look at me. Do I look like a guy that does yoga? No.
No.
No, I
God,
do not.
No, you're the last person I would guess does yoga.
Yeah, I appreciate you throwing that in there.
So that sounds That sounds mildly erotic.
Well, I'm hoping it turns into something mildly erotic later on in the evening. Yeah, but no.
What? Yeah. What is it? What is?
Dude, I have no idea. But here's the thing.
Why would she do that? Is she that selfish? Does she think you would actually enjoy that? Honestly,
she likes yoga, and I think she thinks it would be fun. I think she signed us up.
Now, Julie, did she talk to you about this before at all, or did she just say, "Hey, I signed us up"?
She said, "Hey, I'm going to sign us up for this," and I didn't even think of the date, and I'd been gone a couple nights in a row. And you know how it goes. Sometimes you're gone a little bit. She's been at home with the three kids. You just kind of say, yeah, okay, babe, yeah, I'll do that for you, you know, because you feel a little bit bad about
it. Did you tell her you don't want to do it?
Oh, she knows. I tell her all the time. I say I would much rather be, yeah, but I say I do not want to do this. It sounds awful because she's excited about it. She's really excited. I say, well, it sounds like a nightmare to me.
You should tell her to take another guy.
Yeah.
No. Sometimes you do things that you really don't want to do, and then you admit them on the radio for everyone to make fun of you just because you want to be a good husband.
Just let someone else take her and get her in the downward dog. It'll be fine.
I've done zero yoga classes in my entire life.
Now, a couple of yoga classes might be where the wad gets eliminated. Like, that starts to get a little touchy.
Couples?
You know?
I have no idea. Dude,
this could turn erotic pretty quickly, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get a bunch of sweaty couples in the Valentine's mood and the women are all wearing the yoga pants.
I'm telling you, I can't believe I just admitted this in the radio, but have you guys seen Couples Retreat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot like that.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Encouragement.
If you have not seen Couples Retreat, go watch it just for the yoga scene.
I'm going to be like Kevin James in that movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Isn't Kevin James?
Of course.
Isn't that Kevin James or Adam Sandler? Who's in? I can't even remember who's in that movie.
Before Williams leaves today, we need to play him the clip from the yoga scene so he can see this. You don't need to watch the whole movie. Just watch the yoga instructor. He's great. So where is this taking place at? At a yoga studio?
Yeah.
I assume?
Yeah.
Honestly, like, is this like a gift for you?
No, it's not even a gift. She just saw the signups for it, and she said, that sounds fun. We should do that. And like I said, I think I'd been gone at a game, and I'd been gone coaching basketball, and she'd been home with the kids for three or four straight days. And so I was like,
let's be honest, you're not really coaching basketball. You're just babysitting a bunch of fourth graders.
You shut your mouth.
That's what you're doing. You're not coaching.
Not anymore. Season's over.
So would this be a good Valentine's Day? If this is the gift that I thought about getting Kay, and I'm going to say it. She'll listen to this and hear this because I don't think we'll actually do it. But would this be epic Valentine's gift or a completely, totally selfish Valentine's gift? And it's not dirty. I know what you guys are thinking. Mm-hmm. I was thinking because I was on StubHub, and I've been watching a lot of NBA lately, and I've been to very few NBA games in my life. And I thought, where's the close NBA game? Timberwolves, obviously, is the closest one. So I was looking. Valentine's night, the Timberwolves host the Cavs.
Oh, nice.
Right? Yeah. And on StubHub, I could get literally courtside seats. So you're on the floor.
Yeah.
That thing. First row, yeah. Right?
Make sure Charles Oakley's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. So would the typical woman appreciate, even if they're not a huge basketball fan?
Yeah, she would
front
like that.
Front row seats to see
LeBron she would like that.
And all those guys at an NBA game?
No, this is what she would like about it. The game is okay, but it's the fact that she gets away from the kids with you. And I'm guessing you guys are going to get a hotel because you're going to go up there. You're going to stay. So that's the part that she likes. You're just planning something and getting away. The game is nah.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. Cheapskate Mark Charter is going to just drive up and back on the same night.
You're buying those tickets, boys.
You're probably
not,
flying,
you're
aren't
not you? Paying for parking. You guys are going to walk in the Minnesota air. You have like a 2 mile walk.
I want to know what.
Happy Valentine's Day, honey.
I just need to rent the
limo.
Get
you a hot dog.
3 hour trip up, 3.5 hours in the limo up. Back. It'd be nice.
Your obsession with limos.
I don't even know if my wife would like that, but I think yours would, knowing your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool.
I've taken my wife to watch Freddie a couple times, and she really likes it, though. Like, the NBA deal is just different because you've got – not like a college game. There's so much stuff going on outside of the game.
She just stares at Freddie the whole time.
You've never said, when you get tickets directly via the coach of the Bulls, are they pretty good seats, I assume?
They're not bad.
Yeah?
They're not bad.
You're not on the bench, but you're close.
No, actually, they're, I don't know, five rows up.
Imagine if he was actually winning, how good they would be. It'd probably get you some really good seats then.
Correct.
Yeah, he should have gone to Minnesota. Whatever. It's a topic for another time.
Yeah, that's a whole other deal. Okay, because we are on the radio tonight, we do have to take a commercial break to thank all of our sponsors of the Cyclone Fanatic radio show that you hear every Thursday night here on 1460 KXNO. Next week, we will be back at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. You're probably listening right now. If you're driving around Ankeny, swing on over to Thunderhead for our football recruiting party that Well, it's going on right now. But you guys can come check that out. More Fawcast coming up after this. I hope you like what you just heard. I hope we didn't scare anybody off. Perhaps more couples yoga stories and conversations about dating your friends next here on 1460 KXNO. Hey, guys, welcome back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. We'll be back at Benchwarmers in Ankeny for some hardcore clone talk next week, of course. Brent Bloom will be back and in the whole crew. Tonight, special edition Fawcast with Charterhouse here on KXNO as we're at our football recruiting party over at Thunderhead. Mark, did you did well on your prop bets on the Super Bowl? What was the best prop bet that you hit on?
What was the best
one? Under was clutch. I thought we were in a lot of trouble at the start of that.
You know, the best one was the missed PAT.
Yeah. Yeah, the missed PAT.
I called that one, and yeah, most people would say, no, they're not going to be a missed PAT. Absolutely.
There's a lot of missed PATs in the pros these days. It's crazy.
Not only was that one, and I didn't say this specifically, but in Vegas you could bet not only that they'd miss the PAT, but they'd miss it by hitting the crossbar, which is what happened in that. Imagine that.
You can bet that in Vegas, that it'll hit the crossbar?
They've got something like 400 or 500 bets, prop bets you can make.
That's unbelievable.
In Vegas, pretty much anything and everything. The most shocking one, though, was the pick six from Tom Brady.
Did you hit that?
No, but that bet was interesting for a couple reasons. It was three bets on that one play. It was, would Tom Brady throw an interception? That happened. Would there be a defensive touchdown or special teams? That happened on that play. And the other one was longest touchdown of the game. Was over 50 yards. That was typically the bet. That happened. So three things happened on that one play.
Wow.
Yeah. But no, I did well for
that's,
the game.
That's good.
You're welcome to have me back on your show next year as well. And I'll get more winners.
This will become an annual Super Bowl prop bet segment the Friday before the Super Bowl.
Congrats, by the way. I see it's your anniversary on your show.
Yeah, Ross and I have been together for 2 years today.
It's exciting. Got big plans?
Yeah, we're going to go out to dinner after the recruiting party tonight.
And should take him some flowers.
We have a couples yoga session planned.
I love it. Too bad it's not Friday because tomorrow, I think it's not tonight, I think it's tomorrow, the new 50 Shades of Grey movie hits theaters.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Do you know what just hit the podcast? 2 Shades of Grey yesterday.
Oh, is that what you're calling it now?
I don't know. We're working on that.
That's actually not a bad title, given current events.
Yeah.
You know? 2 Shades of Grey.
Are you going to go see that with Katie? 50 Shades of Grey?
We will deny publicly that we will ever see that movie, and then when it comes on TV, we'll watch it.
We went to the first one in theaters. I didn't think it was good
at all. By the way, it was terrible. By the way, look what's sitting on our table right now.
I saw that earlier.
You notice those?
Yep. You make a mistake by going to that in the theater. You need to watch that at home.
But it wasn't even, like, that sexual.
I'm just saying, though.
I'm just saying, like, I went into that thing thinking it was, like, a softcore porn.
Kind of was at times.
Not really.
At certain points it was.
What, I mean, according to you, Mr. Prude over here, but it was not. Like, I didn't... That's kind of how my wife lured me into going.
If you're used to watching Sesame Street, that movie was filthy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's all perspective in life.
This is true.
But if you've maybe seen like 10 minutes of adult erotica in your days, it was nothing compared to that. So that was pretty tame.
That's quite the difference in comparison there. Sesame Street to...
I'm just saying, it's the perspective from which you come that dictates how you look at things. So anyway... I'm literally looking at the books. I won't say why they're sitting on our office desk, but they're here. So,
should we talk about Iowa State for a little bit? Does anybody have any hot takes on the Cyclones?
That they're frustrated.
Well, hot takes change from day to day with this team, don't they?
Absolutely. That's why we love them.
Yeah.
They're frustrating. That's my take. You know?
I thought that Tuesday's game was the most frustrating. The most frustrated I've been with this particular group, just because it's not like Texas even played that well. Like they were 3 of 14 from 3, 43% from the field. They play good defense. That team just in general plays good defense.
They're
a long team, so it's a bad matchup in that sense for Iowa State. I understand all that, but like, man, they didn't even show up for 15 minutes, and then, you know, they flipped the switch like they always do, predictably came back, and I don't know. I don't – if you go on the road and the bad – like, TCU deserved to beat Iowa State that day. If you go down there,
Vanderbilt deserved.
Yeah, to beat Iowa State that day. They shot their butts off. Like if Texas plays out of its mind. Like, I'm fine with it because it is hard to win on the road. But they didn't even play that well, and yeah. I don't know. I just – that was a missed opportunity.
I think that this Iowa State team, as they've shown, I believe, can hang with almost any team in the country.
Agree.
Doesn't mean beat them, but hang, right? We're not getting blown out by a lot of people. We've got a few ugly
number
games.
One Gonzaga, Kansas – Baylor.
But that's what's so frustrating, though. We're and yes, we got over the hump against Kansas, which was awesome to see. Finally happened. But in general, we're just a close team, and I think you have to accept that. I mean, we're going to make the tournament. We might win a game in the tournament, and I think the second game when we lose, we'll lose by less than 10 points. But it's not a great team. It can be a fun team. When Deontay plays well, I think it could be a fun team. But just enjoy the ride, I guess, because I don't think it's going that far this year.
Well, you know, you get an NCAA tournament, it's all about matchups. And the team's experienced. If they have the right matchups, I still think they can be good in the NCAA tournament. I'm not saying great, but I think this team's got a chance to make the Sweet 16 again.
I do, too.
I'm not ready to drop, you know.
Yeah,
ready,
I mean, to go especially, from, I mean, if you look here, at the rest of their schedule, I think if they get to – if they get to 10-8 in the Big 12 and win the right games and win a game or two in KC, you can still be a 6 seed, and then you know, weird things can happen.
Maybe Purdue loses again and you get Arkansas Little Rock in the second round, like happened last year, and then the path to Sweet 16 is easier.
Yeah.
You never know. The two things that are frustrating for me is Iowa State slow starts, which we've seen over and over again, not just this year, but really going back the last 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely.
Even into the Fred Hoiberg.
This whole like group of guys, it's – they're notorious for it.
I mean, this year, just off top, Indiana State, Gonzaga, Iowa, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, they're down 20. All those games, they're down double digits pretty much like that to start the first half. And that's hard.
Yeah, or they've gotten off to a hot start, and then they've hit that one of those streaks where they don't score for 10 minutes, it seems like.
No, 5 points the first 10 minutes of the game against Texas.
That was pathetic.
And we talk about it a lot, too, Chris, me and you do, is Iowa State's tempo this year is slower than they've ever played before.
What are we now, right now?
166 on KenPom.
Yeah, that's way too slow.
But the problem is they needed to play faster against Texas because, like you said, they're long. They're good on defense.
Yeah.
But Iowa State couldn't get a steal. How many times did Iowa State almost have steals, have their hands on the ball, and they were unable to gain possession? Same with rebounds. I think Merrill Holden probably dropped about 4 rebounds in the 8 minutes he played. It's hard to get out and run if you don't get stops. If you don't get stops to create the turnovers Iowa State, you know, needs. So that's frustrating. Iowa State's just not physical enough with the ball.
Now, what's your take on that? Because, again, going back to KenPom here, steal percentage on KenPom.
We're great.
6.3, eighth in the country.
Yeah, we're really good at
that. Just that game?
Well, we created 13 turnovers, but Texas is, I think, ninth in the Big 12 in turnover ratio, or in turnover, so we should have probably been able to get 20 in that game.
What is – I see you have KenPom pulled up.
Yep.
Does he have Iowa State at 10-8?
10-8, yep.
Okay, what about Saturday? What's the score?
78-67 clones, so 11-point victory.
Okay.
I think we both take that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I assume a loss at Kansas State.
Yep, by 4.
Okay. He's got us winning 3 more. Is that enough?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think here. I actually think I had us winning 4
That only
more.
Puts us at 7.
I had them at 11-7, but I also had them beating Texas, so I guess if I'm staying true to what I said, I would keep them at 10-8 now. Yeah.
Was there anything to – they mentioned it several times on the broadcast the other day, how Texas was getting every loose ball, they were hustling, et cetera. Anything to that or just an anomaly in that game? Are we a team that isn't scrappy?
No, we're usually pretty scrappy because we're guards. We just didn't get any loose balls.
Yeah,
I mean, we created 21 turnovers at Fog Allen the game before. I mean, you don't do that unless you're scrappy.
I think that the guy, there was clearly a hangover from that Kansas game. Walters pointed out with Ross and I yesterday. And the thing is, like, it's easy for fans and us to sit here and be like, well, why is this the case? It's also very natural, though, when you play at Fog Allen, you come off of that huge high, and then you go to Austin where there's hardly anybody there. It's a dead arena. This group is – like any human being has problems with that. This group especially. I mean, that guy, were you, Adam, at the UAB game when they lost?
No, I was not there.
I don't know if I've ever been to a deader arena in my life, and I've been to the Knapp Center, for crying out loud. I mean, that thing was...
You love to crap on the Knapp Center.
Oh, it's bad. But it's getting better, though. People are actually showing up for them now, which is good to see. But that place was so dead, And it's like the guys didn't even wake up until 15 minutes into the game. And I think that that's what we saw. I don't believe that, like, they didn't prepare for Texas because they beat Canada. They just looked flat.
Yeah.
You could see it. They visibly looked flat for that entire first half.
Every time I watch Big 12 basketball, though, too, I'm thankful to be an Iowa State fan just because, I mean, we show up for games. We show up for the games we shouldn't show up for, and we have for years. Hilton typically is full or almost full. Like watching last night, Oklahoma State playing number 6 in the country, Baylor. What do you see up in the upper deck?
Nothing.
Lots of empty seats.
Yeah.
Lots of empty seats. Iowa State has it great.
Yeah.
We really, really do. I don't know. Attendance-wise, we top 10 in the country? Probably. I'm sure you can track that somewhere.
Well, not as far as overall attendance, but a percentage full, probably.
Yeah, percentage full, yeah, because the problem is Hilton doesn't hold as many.
Yeah, percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what the exact numbers are on that, but I know Iowa State's usually second or third in the Big 12 because of the Kansas.
It's got to be second. It has to be, doesn't it? Who would be?
Well, I don't know about percentage full, but I'm
Kansas
saying
Kansas is number one.
Yeah.
Iowa State's usually two or three.
Who would be fighting with for third?
Let me think here. Let's go through them.
Kansas State's got a deep. I mean, they got a good crowd, but are they? Can't imagine that's better than Hilton. Texas, West Virginia, Virginia, maybe.
As far as butts in the seat, Iowa State would be number two. But okay. I'm saying like what actually goes reported. I don't. I think they may be three.
I gotcha. Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head though.
Probably Baylor.
Kidding.
Kidding.
Anyways, I think that they'll kill Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
on Saturday.
Oklahoma made a nice little run there when they got watered back, but they've gone back to just being terrible again.
Correct. They've gone back to where they were in November.
Yep.
And I think Iowa State will – they've been on the road for 4 of the last 6 games. It's hard to
– yeah.
You know, so I think that home sweet home will be the cure for Iowa State. And the good thing about Iowa State's schedule the rest of the way is there's, like, even the games that we have them losing, like, they're winnable.
Yeah, there's not one game on the schedule where I look and say Iowa State can't win that game.
No.
The hardest game, in my opinion, left is at Kansas State just because
correct.
I always look at that game as
– it's brutal.
Brutal. And they play at West Virginia. West Virginia is a better team than Kansas State, but I don't know.
I mean, we've seen worse teams than Iowa State go into West Virginia and win this year.
Yes.
2 of them, actually.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Oklahoma State, who Iowa State beat in Stillwater.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Iowa State's better than Oklahoma State is right now.
I think they are.
We'll see. That game scares me, by the way.
I made this point on the Graycast yesterday. The reason it doesn't, if you notice that Monte Morris, when he plays against other big-time point guards, it brings out his best game.
Correct.
Frank Mason, Evans, he plays better. And that's why sometimes those games against Texas worry me a little bit about him, because there's no one on Texas that gets his competitive juices really going.
They can win at Texas Tech. Like, I have them as a loss there, but if they win that game, they can get right back in the 11-7 range.
Correct.
So it'll be an interesting next couple of weeks. Again, my whole deal was to not overreact to the Texas game, but I also think that if you don't point out that it was a totally blown opportunity, then we're lying to ourselves because Texas is not very good, and they didn't even play well.
And Iowa State ruined any chances they had for still a 2-seed in the Big 12 because they were still in play for a 2-seed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much shot.
No, they didn't get helped last night at all with West Virginia and Baylor both winning on the road.
Yeah, Baylor's was a good win. West Virginia's was not surprising at Oklahoma.
No, but they'd already lost to them.
Yeah.
So that's what made it
big, yeah.
Fairly intriguing.
The slow starts thing, to me, I know we've done it and we've seen it for years and years, but this is one of the – I think Iowa State's the 5th most experienced team in the entire country. In the entire country. How does it keep happening? That's what I don't understand.
Well, yeah, no, I know.
I mean, it's not like you're rolling freshmen and sophomores
out there.
A lot
of that experience, like, and you're right that is the number. But a lot of that's counting, like, Holden and Bowie, guys who have played a lot. And it's like, God, they're just so – there's so much deficiency down low. You know what I mean? If they have one guy, like –
but the guards still, I mean.
Oh, I get it, but, like, there's such a team that leans one direction, you know.
Yeah.
They're not balanced at all. The roster's not put together well at all.
No.
It'll be interesting to see what they get in the offseason as far as a fifth year, because they are going to take a fifth-year post at some place. I don't even know if I want to say that they missed on Bowie, because he's been about what I thought, honestly, for him. Holden, I think that they missed on. I don't think that he has produced the way that the staff had wanted to or envisioned him doing it. He's gotten better here towards the end of the year.
But, sometimes, yeah. But the thing is with Bowie, he's been asked to do a little bit different just because Holden has been so bad.
Correct.
That Bowie's been asked to play the five more than they probably ever envisioned him playing the five.
I don't think anybody envisioned him playing the five.
So it's a little unfair to him.
Correct. That's why I said I don't think they missed on him. I think he's been about what you should have expected from a fifth year out of Northern Illinois.
Minus the free throws.
Yeah, he's an atrocious free throw shooter.
Pretty bad. Iowa State's 16th in the country right now in attendance, by the way. There's some interesting
statistics
there.
Yeah, give us these real quick.
Can you guys guess? You put your basketball brains on for a second. I bet you get this. Who is 1 and 2?
Kentucky.
Kentucky's number one. They average 23,361.
Duke?
No, Duke's small.
Duke's what are they, tiny.
North Duke's Carolina?
Like, Duke is 9,300
again. Syracuse, because they fill that dome.
Syracuse is number two, 21,592.
Louisville, number three?
Louisville's number three.
Creighton, number four?
North Carolina.
Creighton's probably top 15, I would guess.
Yeah, because they got the big arena.
Creighton is 10th.
And they all drink there.
Creighton is 10th. Iowa's not doing bad. Three spots lower than Iowa State.
That's the deal. Like,
with paid attendance versus buzz
seats. Yeah, because like Hawk fans will like notoriously throw that at Iowa State, but they have more seats.
Here's one thing that's interesting. What did Maryland do last year? Did they stink last year?
No, they had
they're
trouble.
Okay.
They're good.
They're okay.
They lead the NCAA in increased attendance this year. 12,694 last year, 17. So they have 5,000 more people a game this year.
Wow.
They were in the Sweet 16 last year. They were good.
Why such a massive difference, though?
That's a good question. I don't know. They were good. They were actually – they had a better record this year, but they were a better team last year.
Another one, Alabama drastically increased their attendance. So did LSU for some reason. LSU stinks. They're not very good.
They increased attendance this year?
After Ben Simmons?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
They increased it 2,485.
Are you sure you're not looking from 15 to 16?
Yes. 2015 average was 88.97. 2016 average, 11,382.
Yeah, that's the last year. This is 2017, Mark.
At LSU.
Damn it, Mark.
This is 2017. Do you know what year this is?
It is 2017. But we don't have full statistics for that. So going off full statistics.
The reason LSU was up last year is because of Ben Simmons.
Because of Ben Simmons.
Got it.
And that would be why Maryland
was. Why he was worth the money
because
to pay him to go there.
Okay, now it all is starting to make more sense.
Yeah. That does make sense. No, we don't have full stats for this year.
Okay. You need to step your game. Bloom would not have made that mistake. Bloom would have known what he was talking
Bloom
about.
Bloom doesn't make any mistakes. Bloom is perfect.
Here's what Bloom does. This is why Bloom's smart. Because like if he just doesn't know, he's smart enough to know I don't know, and he doesn't dabble into it.
I BS it.
Bloom, I know. That's the problem with guys like us. Is we'll just BS it, and the problem is the BS meters start going off all over the place. Whereas Bloom, he'll just sit back and stay silent, and then he pounces on something that he's really good at.
Well, and
that's why he only writes like once every 2 weeks. Bloom will only write for Cyclone Fanatic when things are really good for the Cyclones. Like if they get a huge win, Bloom will fire off a column the next week because he knows that everybody's going to – they're all jacked up and they're all – just like he did with Kansas this week.
Well, he's a bandwagon fan.
No, he's not even that. He is. He's like the – in Seinfeld, the showmanship. Like when everybody laughs at George's joke, he gets out of the room. He doesn't stay to deteriorate the motor.
Are you calling him soft a little bit?
I think that's fair.
Bloom is soft.
When you watch a game –
I'm saying he's soft. I'm saying I think it's fair to make that argument.
Is it weird to watch a game with Bloom? Does he watch it a different way than you do?
Yeah,
he's an official.
Like, Bloom will sit in the corner and be like, oh, great call. Great call.
Like, he comments on refs' calls.
He'll comment on, like, John Hollywood Higgins, like, officiating mechanics during the game. He'll be like, oh, great mechanics.
You see the way he backpedaled down the court? It's beautiful.
Higgins did?
Footwork is unbelievable.
In general. Yeah. Everyone always notices when the refs fall down, though.
Bloom went to the Big 12 tournament with me last year, and that was Eads' game, Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Eads was terrible. And Bloom admitted that he was not doing a very good job.
Didn't something happen during that experience last year that made Bloom like vastly uncomfortable?
We will not talk about anything on the radio.
What happened?
Nothing.
Something during the game, like some of the guys you were with, like got a little riled up.
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
What happened? Adam, tell the story.
I will not tell the story. There was just a little.
Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people listening to 1460 Des Moines Sports Station
probably
right now.
Millions.
And they want to hear this story.
There's just a little Oklahoma fan that was clapping very loudly.
What do you mean a little? Like a small man?
Probably like a 18-year-old young man.
Oh, a kid.
Yeah, kind of a kid.
Okay.
And there was a couple guys in the group that maybe had had a couple beverages because the game was late, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And it wouldn't have mattered if it was late anyway. They were drinking plenty early, so they weren't feeling it. So they were not appreciating the clapping, and he was doing it very obnoxiously. So, you know, words were exchanged, and, you know, I had to hold a couple people, but nothing happened. But, you know, Bloom, he doesn't like the altercations. He might have felt a little uncomfortable, but it was...
So you and your group of...
No, not me.
Thug friends picked a fight with a kid.
Shut up. No, I am not a fighter. I diffused the situation, and everyone got back to enjoying the basketball game. I actually am very mad at you that you even brought that up on the radio.
knowing Brent Bloom's physical stature, it's hard to imagine him wanting to avoid conflict.
Oh, they wanted nothing to do with Bloom. He's scrappy down there. You know,
he's scrappy. He'll take you out at the knees.
Bloom is Dustin Hogue.
Oh, he's just karate kicking you right to the chest and then taking a toothpick and stabbing you with it.
Oh, jeez. Lord.
Violent.
Violent podcast here tonight. All right, we'll continue this conversation. Maybe look ahead to the weekend as well. Iowa State, Oklahoma, and whatever Mark Charter comes up with here in this next 10 minutes. Back with more. It's the Charter House Real Estate Podcast here on Cyclone Fanatic Radio, 1460 KXNO. Hey, guys, welcome back. Segment 3 of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here on 1460 KXNO. A little bit different tonight. We're doing our podcast with Mark Charter, Adam Gray, and yours truly. We're on the radio tonight as we have our annual recruiting party that is happening at Thunderhead. We will be back at Benchwarmers in Ankeny next week where, red alert, we're having the Cameron's second birthday party.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Am I invited?
Yeah. No, it's honestly like it. We're just going to bring some cupcakes, and we're not really having people. It's just going to be... She's having, like, her family birthday party this weekend and then another one next weekend, but it's, like, her actual birthday, so.
So we're not invited.
Yeah, you're invited. I was going to tell Julie to bring the kids.
Oh, okay. I haven't got anything yet. Haven't heard.
Well, there's no, like, invites going out. This is you being invited.
It sounds like I'm uninvited.
No, you're invited. If I'm talking about it, I wouldn't just talk about it and not invite
throwing
you.
Throwing stuff at me, Greg.
How about all the other people listening on the radio right now?
If they want to come by and wish Cammie a second happy birthday or a happy second birthday, then they're very welcome.
Just bring a gift.
If I didn't want people to come, I would just do it at my house and not tell anybody. I'm telling people on the radio. Come to Benchwarmers.
What date and time?
It's next Thursday at 6 when we're on the radio.
I was confused because you called her Cameron, which you never do. I'm like, who is this person?
I call her that when
she's been
naughty.
Cammie all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've never yelled at her once.
No, I haven't.
No, I think so.
Gray?
Probably won't ever either.
I'm going to kill you.
This is great radio, you two immature clowns.
He's flicking stuff at me.
Mark, you were just telling me about an odd headline that you saw.
There's what? Headline writers, that's a skill, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean,
you got to write the headline clickbait. That makes you want to read.
Is it a skill?
Absolutely.
Actually, it really is, because I can write like a column. Like I can sit down and do that. I can do 3 hours on the radio without any preparation. I'm terrible at writing headlines.
So here you go.
Some people are just more clever than others with that.
I just came across this one. It's from the News Tribune. I'll be honest. I don't know where that's from.
Fake news.
The News Tribune.
You are fake news.
The headline, this is a national story, February 8th, posted at 6:55 a.m.
Well, you know, I could claim something's a national story and put it on Facebook, too.
Well, a story like this is definitely national. The headline reads... Vaginal pain helps exonerate man accused of murder.
Okay.
Now, that's one you're going to click on,
man. You got to click on that.
Let's break the man's having... Wait. Hey,
well, you got to start to read the article. A Miami man beat a murder rap thanks to a woman's vaginal pain. Prosecutors dropped the case Tuesday after Elias Cardoza presented an unusual alibi. Around the time of a fatal drive-by last October in Little Havana... He was actually at home calling 911 for his sister, who fell ill with extreme gynecological discomfort.
Oh, okay.
So, sister said...
So, his alibi was calling
911. My hoo-ha hurts, and brother calls 911 for it.
So, that's instead of title, man exonerated for alibi, which would have worked...
I would not have clicked on that. Yeah. Okay.
I give this headline writer a ton of credit.
This reminds me of the time, though, from the show Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is great. We love Seinfeld here on this show.
We do.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is the dirtier version of Seinfeld. Made by the same person.
It's the Fallcast version of most other podcasts.
So funny.
A true story. There was a murder in Los Angeles, and a guy was being questioned about it or maybe even arrested for it. And ultimately, he was exonerated because the show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, filmed some live coverage. It wasn't live, but they filmed at a Dodgers game. And the guy that was the suspect was at that Dodgers game and was in the footage. You can see him sitting there at the game at the same time that this murder supposedly happened. So, similar stories. Not really, but you know what I'm making a leap there.
Yeah.
Go with me, Gray.
Night-night.
So, yeah, I absolutely think headlines are a skill. And congratulations.
It absolutely is a skill, and there's a reason why some people are like better at Twitter than others and as well. Like, it's hard to fit a catchy, descriptive piece that makes people want to read it in the space that you
like
have.
Like, here's one more. Great headline.
Do you think that's an okay headline? Do you think like that is...
Absolutely. It's accurate.
Okay, what do you think about this headline, ready?
If I put that on Cyclone Fanatic and it got clicked on 20,000 times, you'd be happy with it.
Sure. There are a lot of headlines, though, that are not really accurate.
Okay, but this headline is not only punny, but also informative at the same time. 50 Shades to get spanked by Lego Batman at box office. I like that one. That's a good headline right there.
Read that one more time.
50 Shades to get spanked by Lego Batman at box office. ... It says.
Oh, it's
Lego Batman actually looks kind of funny, doesn't it?
Have you ever noticed how it's weird how they have projections on movies so quick? Like Friday night. Like Friday, they'll come out with the weekend total. Okay, well, it's Friday. I mean,
that's in the defense of 50 Shades, like the Lego Man. That's a much larger demographic of people wanting to go to that movie. There's a lot more kids in the world than people that want to watch the smutty 50 Shades of Grey.
They're tracking a Lego Batman at a $60 million haul.
So wait a second. It's a Lego...
You saw the Lego movie, right?
No.
I didn't see
it. You're aware of the Lego movie, right? Came out about a year ago, maybe more than that?
I'm just assuming that it's a movie of... It's
Lego characters in a movie. And I saw it was actually pretty good. In that movie, in the Lego movie...
There's no way it was... you have to put some... There's no way it was good. You're saying, like, for a kid it was good.
No, even for an adult.
There's no way.
It was good. I enjoyed it. My wife and I took our kids, I'm not sure who went, but it was good, and it had an actual human story to it at the end, which made you go, ah, that was nice.
Okay, so...
It was better than the Angry Birds movie.
Is Bruce Wayne going to make an appearance in this?
No, but in the Lego movie, there was Batman as a Lego character, and he was so popular and funny in that movie, they gave him his own movie. So this is Lego Batman. Has his own movie now.
Is this trademarked? Like the Batman stuff?
He looks just like Batman.
Interesting. He's
got the logo on his chest.
How do you not know any of this stuff, Chris?
Because my kid's only two.
You spend time watching the most junk TV of any person I've ever met.
What is junk TV that I watch?
Naked and Dating or whatever that show was, and it was on at your house.
Naked and Afraid?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
No, the one where they're dating naked.
Oh, Dating Naked.
Yeah. Dating Naked, yeah.
That is pretty stupid.
That's a great
show.
That's
really
stupid. I watched like three episodes of that.
It was on the entire time I was at your house.
I did it just to make you uncomfortable.
I was extremely uncomfortable.
I really don't watch that show. But okay, go out. What other crap TV do I watch?
Besides wrestling?
No, yeah, whatever. Wrestling, the thing is, it's like that gets better ratings than anything that you watch.
There's some TV out there that's horrible but fun to watch. Like, Chris probably watches Bait Car. Have you ever seen Bait Car?
He watches a lot of like MTV, like
The Challenge.
The Challenge.
The Challenge is phenomenal.
The Challenge is good.
Jimmy,
I like River Monsters. Watch that
River
all the
Monsters
time.
A show like Bait Car is a simple premise.
Mountain Men.
Cops leave a car like running or unlocked in a bad neighborhood, and then they just wait for it to get stolen.
Just watch
your show.
Phenomenal documentary on Mars. It was an 8-part series.
You always say you have no time, and then you list off 20 more shows than I have time to watch. It's amazing.
I watch them late at night, man.
Yeah, when you should be
sleeping.
Yeah,
I can't sleep.
That's why you get all sorts of weird diseases because of your sleep schedule. It's horrible. Yeah, absolutely.
Is Pika back yet?
Pika. I think it's Pika.
Pika.
Is that the thing that you guys told everybody that I had last year?
I got Charter and Jared to believe that you had it.
I had.
I was worried about
I got my
friend.
Pneumonia out of the way in December, so I'm clear for the rest of the year.
So far, 2017, you've been good.
I've been phenomenal.
Pneumonia, scarlet fever, and pink eye all come to mind within a year's time.
Hand, foot, and mouth.
Hand, foot, and mouth. There's another one.
Excessive diarrhea.
The common cold. Well, that's when you take laxatives for a year, that's going
to
happen.
That was self. Okay, we have a minute left. Does anybody need to say anything, get anything out of the way before we're kicked off the air here? And never ask
if
back.
If you want to have a good Valentine's night, well, I'll leave that part up to you. But take your wife to La La Land. She's going to like it. I saw it. It's good. It's good in a Valentine's-y kind of way. Absolutely. Didn't your wife see it, Gray?
She saw it. She thought it was average.
So you didn't have to go to that, but you do have to go to Couples Yoga.
Please send pictures.
Yeah, I'm not taking pictures. I could say no to Couples Yoga now. I think I probably could. But, you know, sometimes you just suck it up and you just do stuff you don't
want to do. Do you have a pair of Lululemons you're going to wear?
I have nothing, no.
You're wearing basketball shorts, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Don't knock the Lululemons. I have a pair. They're pretty comfy.
My brother's got like five pair. He loves those things.
They're pretty comfy.
All right, guys. Thanks for putting up with us tonight here on 1460 KXNO. If you need to buy a house, Mark Charter's your guy. You know that. Other than that, so long. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow with the Morning Rush at 6 here on KXNO.